Hey, Jonathan Goodman here. I have super exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, that I've been talking about forever, is almost here. This is published by HarperCollins. The president of Shopify endorsed it. The editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine endorsed it. This thing is going to blow the roofs off, and I'm asking that you please pre-order your copy today on your local Amazon, wherever you buy books. It's available. It's called The Obvious Choice. Hope you pre-order it. Hope you love it.
My name is Joe. I work with pretty much busy professionals or busy parents, general population that look to lose a little bit of weight, get stronger, pretty much gen pop. I ran a gym for the past 13 years, and I've had multiple locations. COVID brought us down to one, and I don't plan to open up any more locations. I plan to stay with just my main location, which is doing pretty well, but my goal is to really grow the online side of the business.
Very cool. What are we talking about today?
I guess, you know, I'm finding the amount of volume it takes. It's very different from when I run ads for the gym, which is local ads.
Sure.
You know, you could put out ads and it tracks people very easily, and it actually gets people to take action, to actually come to the gym and actually be willing to, you know, get a tour or see somebody. Where online, I find it's a much longer process, and I'm just finding it like hard to wrap my head around how long it takes to take someone from a lead all the way out to becoming actually a paying client. You know, in the gym business, we could flip them in a week's time. Whereas online,
online you don't have the benefit of location bias. You know, if they live close, they probably know somebody who already goes to your gym, or at least have some trust because they're in the same general community as you. Whereas online, you could be anybody. And so, yes, you are 100% right. It takes a little bit longer to build that trust. You need more kind of impressions for it. My solution to this, Joe, is, you know, online, it's no different to me just because you're online. You still want to become famous to the family. You still want to fix what's inside your fence first. The fence might just be a metaphorical fence now and not a physical barrier like a 2-mile or 5-mile perimeter is. You know, like your gyms, what are you running the ads for? Like a 5-mile perimeter or 10-mile perimeter or something,
exactly,
right?
Exactly,
yeah. It's not dissimilar, so that's why we hammer in so much. Like, who are you working with? Like, what are the clients that you really want to target? It doesn't mean that you can't work with people outside of there, but you have to work backwards much more with online fitness. Whereas with in-person, when you have a gym, you can kind of move forwards a little bit better. So let's start at the end. Mm-hmm. And we'll play the game this way. You don't have to use their full name or their real name. Who's your favorite person you've ever worked with online? Give me their first name.
Let's call her Carm.
Carm? Okay. Tell me about her.
She's a older woman. Kids are empty
ballpark
nester. 55, I'd say.
Okay.
Kids are out in university. She is a business owner.
Cool.
Busy, travels a lot. But she's like, she just does the work. She reaches out when she needs support.
Mm-hmm.
She appreciates the calls when we do have them, and to get her back on track. Very responsive.
Ethnicity?
East Indian.
Okay. She live in the United States or somewhere else?
No, in Canada.
She lives in Canada. Okay. What about east, west, middle?
Yes, Ontario.
Ontario. Okay. Okay. Calm, kids in university, recent, busy. What are her goals?
Weight loss, general health. She had some health concerns come up. Some health scares. She's
Did
kind
she have
of
a
near...
lot of weight to lose, or just like kind of
like
trim up and tighten up?
Like maybe like 15 to 20.
Okay. When she was younger, you might not know the answer to this, but when she was younger, was she fit and active? like before kids or something?
Yeah, that I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Based off of her body type, though, what would you guess? Like, is she kind of have a slimmer body type, a bigger body type? Like, has she kind of always struggled with her weight a little bit? Or
I'd say she's pretty in the middle.
Okay. So mid-range physique. So probably, if I had to guess, based off of everything you described, probably, like, kind of kept moving, but never really followed, like, a real fitness and nutrition program.
Exactly.
You know, she was never a fitness buff. That's kind of what I was getting at. You know, when she was younger, before kids or early on with kids, was she working out and training hard, and then she had kids and kind of let herself go?
No.
Okay. I mean, you just gave me a lot there. There are, one of the main things that I look for whenever I'm kind of doing this exercise are moments in time where there's a state change that can lead to a behavior change. And a major, major one is, yo, the moment when your kids grow up and move out. Maybe not even move out. I mean, do you have kids? I should know this.
Yeah.
Do you, how old?
I got two, 9 and 7.
So 9 and 7. So similar, right? I'm 7 and 2. But there's a point, of course, where the kids become mostly self-sufficient. Like when they're teenagers, yeah, they're still at home, but you're not taking them to extracurriculars anymore. You'd love to spend time with them, and hopefully you still will, but it's not all consuming.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very significant state change where, as you know, Joe, same as me, man, you know, right now and for the foreseeable future, I cannot visualize a life where it is not dictated and I'm reactive to my kids' schedules. When that flips, that's a very significant state change.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to a very significant, or could lead to very significant behavior changes. And so I'm looking for those moments. And you, like, you almost led with that with Karn. You know, hey, my kids just left for university. I'm an empty nester now. I got time. I have resources, maybe, that I didn't have before. I don't have to feed these stinking kids anymore. Holy crap, they eat a lot of food. Whatever it is. You could call that out. You know, and so I don't know whether there's anything there, but I think it's worth investigating where you... I'm looking to nail down what's called psychographics. Like, demographics, maybe, you know, East Indian, maybe, lives in Ontario, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really say, I'm looking for East Indian women who live in Ontario who are in their 50s, who have no more than 15 pounds to lose. Like, you know, you could say that, but what East Indian woman in their 50s with no more than 15 pounds to lose is already going to be following you? And it's going to be like, oh my God, this must be for me.
Yeah.
But you could say, you know, hey, I was just working, you know, I was just thinking about one of my clients, Carm. She's 55. She's busy. She travels a lot for work, but she loves her job. And, you know, she's never been out of shape, but she's always had a bit of a hard time just kind of getting to the point where she never really had the time and capacity to, because her kids were still at home, but her kids just moved away to university, and we were able to really work together and help her lose those 15 pounds and trim up and feel great. And I don't know if this resonated with you. Give me a shout. Maybe we could work together. Sending ads like that. You know, you could be the physique coach for, I don't know what the words would be, but like, you could be the physique coach for men and women who have just had their kids move out of the house or something.
Yeah, almost blessed with time, like you're almost like newfound gift of, with the gift of time, with just the newfound. Yeah,
there's a lot there. I mean, there's a lot of time sitting there at night when you're so tired and your kids have worn you out or whatever, you know, lovingly, but like your kids have worn you out and you're looking in the mirror or you're in the shower or whatever you're doing and you're thinking, man, when that day comes, I can't wait to get back into blah, 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 blah. You can enter in at that conversation. And the nice thing about that, I've never thought about the smoke it before, but I actually really like the smoke it because it becomes aspirational. And I think the best businesses are ones where people who aren't ready to work with you for whatever reason yet aspire to and look forward to work with you when that time comes. Mm-hmm. And you can also even center it around your marketing. Like, you know that university has 2 semesters that start. You can do your promos when the university kids, you know, a couple weeks before the university kids are going.
Yeah.
Hey, if your kids are going to university for the first time and you're ready to finally get your fitness back on track, give me a shout. Let's chat about how you can start the day that your kids leave. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then you can send ads with that, but then of course you are not competing with general fitness ads. What you're doing is you can target the ads in a very specific amount of time. Or to go live at a specific time and call out a specific person. And that system then, you know, with advertisements, you basically need something that's repeatable so you can test them.
Yeah.
And you need times that repeat or else you can't rely on the results of them. I don't know. How's that land? Never thought about this market before, but I like it.
Yeah.
How's it feel to you?
Yeah, it's a really good, like the more I'm talking and speaking out loud, it just makes more sense. They're at a place in their lives where they're pretty established.
They got money.
They got capital. Yeah, they have time. I used to think I liked busy moms, but like there's always the issue of kids coming up. Either they got sick, the kids' activities, and I know, and you know probably all their activities take up so much time. And there's always something that, and it's almost they're opt out, I find. It's not that I don't like working with them, and I try to work around those challenges, but it's an easy opt out. My kids are going through this, so I have to stop.
There's always something. There's always something. It's hard. It's very, very difficult, especially when there's young children, especially when there's multiple young children on. I mean, not always this way, but usually the mother, even if the mother works full-time and is the breadwinner, is still the primary caregiver. I'm not saying that that's fair. It's just kind of the way that it is. Mm-hmm. Not always, but often. And so it's very, very difficult in that situation to, like, do something that is by definition intense and out of your comfort zone in order to change and transform when you're already doing all that other stuff. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And so, yeah, I mean, busy mums is one of those things where it sounds like a really good market. It's like busy entrepreneurial or business owner mums. It's like, yo, so you're basically inviting yourself to work with the busiest, not by their fault, but like the busiest, most difficult type of clientele.
Yeah.
Where there's going to be a lot of interruptions out of their control. Whereas this clientele is kind of the same type of market, except they're probably going to have more money. And then, you know, you're going to be dealing with things. If it's women, you're going to be dealing with things like menopause.
Yeah.
You're going to be dealing with.
Yeah.
And so that also, of course, might dictate education,
mm-hmm.
like what you do, content, like mm-hmm. how you communicate and what you put out ongoing is like a nurturance. I just love, you know what I love, Joe? I love markets where there's repeatability.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've got a couple students in OTM that specialize in getting people prepared for marathons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, like specifically you're going to start with the Chicago Marathon because you know the date, you know where it is, you can network with the organizers and stuff like that. It's very specific and you know that it's going to repeat every single year right? And then you can tack on whatever, the New York Marathon, and then you can tack on the Honolulu one, and then you can but like in every single case, what you can do is you have the date, you prepare for it, you build your marketing, you get people in there, you work with a cohort in a structured system so you can scale it, and then your marketing, you just pick it up and repeat it over and over and over again. You take out the stuff that doesn't work, you put in new stuff, you test it, and you continue iterating on it, but you're not reinventing yourself. Hey, Jonathan Goodman, and I wanted to invite you to pre-order my next book called The Obvious Choice. This is my first traditionally published book. It's been published by HarperCollins. Sam Parr, if you listen to My First Million podcast, called it a much-needed recalibration for a business generation that's focused on the wrong thing at the wrong time. Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, said that if you want to win in business without feeling like you need to win the internet, you gotta get this book. So why pre-order it instead of getting it when it's ready? Well, there's two reasons, really. The first is that it's really, really beneficial for me, selfishly. It helps me a lot. My publishers love it. But the second beneficial for you is you actually lock in the best ever price. No joke, I pre-ordered a book that was $40 not too long ago. And because the price went down over the pre-order period for like a day to $29.99, when the book arrived to me on the day of the launch, I actually got refunded by Amazon $10. Because when you pre-order a book on Amazon, you lock in the lowest price ever. So if Amazon ever lowers the price, which they often do, you're gonna get that price and get refunded, whatever the difference is from when you pre-ordered it. So there's benefit to you, there's benefit to me. Please pre-order the book, The Obvious Choice, anywhere you buy books, but Amazon gives you this other benefit. Hope that you love it. Hope you're good. Constantly? Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way to really build one of these, like this type of business.
Yeah,
sustainably and scale it.
Yeah, and I think that's where the fatigue, like the content fatigue comes from. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's always, I'm just trying to put out new stuff. But really, what you just said there, like once we identify the market, it's the same content, and we just iterate on what's hitting with them.
Yeah, like I just put out a thread. I just went viral on Twitter yesterday, for example, and we knew we were going to go viral. You want to know how? We posted that thread like 10 times, but every time that we post it, because the thread has a whole bunch of different posts on it, what we do is we look at the best performing points, and if they outperform, we move them earlier on in the thread. The ones that don't perform, we remove. And then what we do is constantly repost individual tweets, and those tweets that perform best, we pull them into the thread. It's just this testing and iteration cycle. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's going to hit, and none of it is new. None of it is new. And so, you know, kids going to university is great. You build the marketing basically for a launch. You can work it through quarterly cycles, whatever. And then you just repeat that. Mm-hmm. Improve upon it in little ways, but eventually you might not even need to improve upon it. You can just repeat it. And so university starts, of course, in different times in different parts of the world.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so there's no reason why you can't launch a program in places of the United States where they start university in August. And your content on your feed, your organic content, might be the same, but you could do this with paid ads, just targeting different locations for when university semesters start. All right.
Yeah, that's brilliant, actually.
And just taking in cohorts to different places.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that audience a lot.
Yeah.
I like that audience a lot. And so I don't know whether, you know, the testing to me would come in how you actually word, like, do you call it an empty nester? Do you call it your kids just left for university? Do you say your last kid just left for university? Like I don't know what terms you use. Is the appeal, you know, no more than 15 pounds to lose? Is the appeal something around energy, vibrancy? Is it for men, for women? I don't know what's going to, hit the most, but those mm-hmm. types of things are pretty easy to test with ads.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know the things that they go through at that age too, is like the perimenopause, and that's sort of, it could be targeted around that stuff. Now, here's my hesitation with that. Like, how does it feel coming from a male?
Sure.
Like, who's never going to go through menopause?
So there's two ways that you could tackle that. The first is, I think it probably matters much less than you think. Mm-hmm. And this is just a weird quirk of our industry, and I'm not saying I like this, but females generally have no issues in working with male trainers. A lot of men have issues working with female trainers. Stupid. It's idiotic. I had a boxing coach when I was in Mexico that was a woman. Yo, she kicked my ass. Like, it's stupid. But I don't think you're going to run into that hesitancy as long as you are able to showcase and demonstrate your knowledge specific to them using their language with your content. I don't think you're going to run into issues. But, you know, there's also the option, if you do run into that and you still want to work with this audience, there's the option of basically having a front face to your business. I actually know a couple of the people that run the online coaching businesses behind a lot of the top influencers these days. Yeah. And really all that they do is they go to the influencer and they're like, hey, you got a big audience because you've been creating content for free on the internet for 20 years, right? You suck at running a coaching business. You've been trying it. You're miserable. You suck at it. You don't even like doing it. You just want to walk around with your shirt off on the internet and make pretty videos with your friends. So, like, how about you just keep doing that? You give us 50% of all of the proceeds of the coaching business. We run this coaching business start to finish.
Yeah. Hire the closers, do all the operations on the back end.
And so behind the scenes, yeah. It's actually the same coaching company operating multiple of these influencers. They just have a different branded accounts, right? It's even the same coaches in a lot of cases, same sales team, everything. You know, if they have a call booked, it's like these ghost kitchens. You ever see that? It's you know, they go to Jimmy's Mexican place and they're like, well, nobody's going on Uber Eats and be like, I want Mexican food. People are like, I want a burrito. And so they start a ghost brand on Uber Eats and they call it like, I love burritos, or like beautiful burritos.
Yeah.
And all you can order is a burrito, and then that order comes in. It still goes to Jimmy's Mexican shop. Jimmy's Mexican shop and their point of sale system just says that it's an order from Beautiful Burritos. Yeah. And they know to put it in that bag. And so the only reason that I bring that up, Joe, is like, if you do find that this is a problem, it's perhaps then, I mean, unless you have an ego and you want to be the front face of it, which is totally fine, but like, perhaps then the approach is basically to find somebody who maybe already has an audience or a platform for that market, loves creating content. I mean, it's pretty easy to see. It's like, clearly you don't know anything about business. Like a lot of these people who have these big fitness accounts, is like, clearly you know nothing about how to actually train people and serve customers, but you're good at creating an audience. And so you go to them and you basically say, I got an opportunity for you. Let's test it. And if we like it, let's run with this. And you put them as the front face. Both could work.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be fast. That would get fast. The speed at which we can implement that. And if I got experience running a business, like a fitness business, I could run a sales team in the back end operations and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Totally. I'll leave you to chew on that. But this is fun, Joe. This is cool, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Appreciate it, John.
You got it.
See ya. Bye.